You want to start with special revenue?
No, we're not quite ready. We have.
Get the stare at your lot, I think, in a few weeks, huh? Oh, yeah, by Monday, yeah. My mistake.
But then we'll do it all.
Okay, we'll start the meeting first. In about 15 minutes, we'll be discussing the special revenue funds. We're waiting for some paperwork on that. And we thought we would start with just a general discussion of the DISH money. And there's a major difference in that area between the House and the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I'd like to yield to Senator Lynch. She has some handouts that she'd like to have the committee distributed to the committee, and then we could go over her handouts. And then Mr. Godfrey has a little bit of additional information.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Bergling.
So Senator Lynch, if you can just wait a minute for the handouts to be delivered.
Well, we'll just discuss it.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Lynch.
It seems appropriate that we have a discussion on the DISH funding because, as Senator Bergland pointed out, it is an area of that both bodies have vast differences on in addressing. And I thought to begin the discussion, maybe a little bit of history to kind of put in perspective the magnitude of what we're really talking about and what we're dealing with. But members will recall that the DISH funding comes from the federal government, and I think it's important to recognize and continue to understand that it's intended to be paid to hospitals to help finance a portion of the cost of care provided by those hospitals to some of our most needy and poor citizens. And the graph that you have in front of you provides some history with regard to some reductions that Minnesota hospitals have incurred in previous years. And I will point out that what we're talking about affects every hospital in every in every corner of the state. There were payment reductions made to hospitals in 2002, 2003, and 2005. And you can see on the chart that those cuts cumulatively built on top of each other in those various years. The direct cuts to the hospitals have totaled over $293 million. I have another handout. And as that's going around, there's been some talk about the impact of the DSH money. There's been talk about the impact of hospitals having been rebased. When we talk about the rebasing of hospitals, I'll remind members of the committee that the hospitals were rebased in 2007, and those are based on the previous 5 years. So in 2007, the hospital were rebased from 1998 levels to 2002. And the handout that you're going to be given shows the net impact of that. Starting with 2002, it will show you, taking into account inflation, the effect of that rebasing. The other thing that the chart will show you is those 3 years of the hospital rate cuts. In 2002, the 0.5%, in 2003, the 5%, and in 2005, the 6%. And I think this chart does a very good job of highlighting and showing the magnitude of this situation. And while I wasn't in the Senate last year at this time, I am keenly aware that one of the areas ultimately that was negotiated had to do with hospital rate reductions and the DSH money. And I think in part that there was some feeling that the cuts to hospitals were a little bit more acceptable, if you will, with the confidence that those DSH dollars would, in fact, be going to all of our hospitals. So I just point that out. And I would suggest that while I had a number of bills that were heard in committee with regard to hospital rateable reductions and trying to address that notion, you can see from the information and the graphs that have been handed out that this is a problem of huge magnitude. But what the DSH dollars do is that they provide the most cost-effective means for the legislature to afford some sort of relief and some sort of support for our hospitals. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks.
Senator Prettner-Solon?
Madam Chair, Senator Lynch, I don't think there was ever any time that cuts to hospitals were acceptable. It was a really bad situation. But by cutting the DSH funds from hospitals, it makes a really bad situation really deplorable.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Mr. Godfrey.
Mr. Chair, members, just to provide a little bit more information on the effect of rebasing kind of operating off of the chart Senator Lynch, the last chart Senator Lynch handed out, which is a Minnesota Hospital Association table. If we look at the column for the fiscal for 2007, you'll see on the calculated costs adjusted for inflation of $100 in 2002, it's now $120.58, and that represents basically the inflation in the hospital's operating costs. Then, if you go below here, you see a rateable the half half percent rateable reductions affect to that $100 in 2007, then the 5% rateable reduction and the 6% rateable reduction, and it shows versus inflation, the hospital's reimbursement has been decreased by 30%. And where rebasing fits in this is that rebasing essentially provides updated payments based on hospital costs in 2007 of about 26%. And so the hospitals, even including rebasing, are down in 07, 4%, in 08, 8%, and in 09, 11%.
Representative Abler.
Thanks, and I don't know how much you want to discuss all this. I think we've seen these handouts before, and they're pretty compelling. And some of the challenges with the hospitals are certainly well known amongst all of us. Part of the challenge of this whole topic is all the needs that we have to deal with, and it seems just to counterbalance that with another group that we try to help is the nursing homes. I think their chart would look even worse than this one would look as they try to even keep their doors open. And I know both sides have struggled to create a big enough a pot of money to try to help some of that. And so it's helpful to look at this. It's having served now in my ninth year in this neighborhood, it's overwhelming sometimes, some of the challenges. And just the general provider groups that serve under medical assistance and Minnesota Care themselves experience, the providers themselves, the doctors and the hospitals at least get some kind of raise, but the dentists and the different physicians who serve have had very little increase over the years as well. So that's, I guess, just to add to the challenge that we face as we consider the hospital problem, too.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Abler, since you were there, do you remember the agreement that we made in the conference committee in 2005?
Representative Abler.
Representative Huntley and Senator Berglund, the dish money was a key part of that, as I recall. I'm not arguing against it. I'm just saying
Do you remember the Senate came in with no hospital cuts and the dish money going to the hospitals into conference committee, and by the time we were done, we had a 6% hospital cut, but we kept the dish money for the hospitals.
Your memory is better than mine. But Mr. Chair,
Representative Abler.
And the reason that what I would have asked, just to understand this even better, I was understanding the nursing home part, which is maybe simpler funding than the hospital funding and all the sources and uncompensated care and all the things that go into the hospital challenge. It'd be interesting to see a list of the hospital funding in gross funding, because I think on our side, we never really understood the hospital part. There's the dish, and then there's the auto cases, and then the huge Medicaid populations they serve, and the EMTALA, and I'm not sure that was part of the decision process, but just for me as a member, it was overwhelming to even comprehend it. And so this kind of chart helps me to understand it better.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Abler, you might also remember the discussion we had about how we were going to generate those federal funds, since we have to have a state match for them in order to get the money. We were struggling for a number of years trying to get a state match for those dollars because we were in deficit. And we ended up agreeing on certified public expenditures from the public hospitals. And the first year we were going to use general assistance money, and the second year the certified public expenditures. And now we find ourselves with a new changes in federal rules, having to use both of them each year. I mean, each biennium, to get the federal dish dollars. Now, I just have a question for you. The only hospital left under the federal rules that can certify public expenditures for all the hospitals in the state, or whoever is going to spend this money to have it, is Hennepin County Medical Center. Why would Hennepin County Medical Center want to certify public expenditures if the hospitals are not even going to get the money?
Good point, Madam Chair. Or Mr. Chair, Madam, whatever.
Representative Thiessen.
Mr. Chair, and just do you have the numbers? Does someone have the numbers on the amount of uncompensated care in the state, and what that number is for hospitals, and what that number is for
it's
kids?
It's roughly $200 million.
And what the percentage of that is for kids under 21? Does anybody have that number?
Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, the total uncompensated care was $191.2 million in 2005, and that was an increase of 26% from the previous year.
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe we have it broken down for children, but I know that Hennepin County Medical Center is one of the bigger ones that has uncompensated care, and their uncompensated care numbers for children are around 3%.
Any other comments, questions? We'll go on to the special revenue, and Senator Berglund, you had a handout, I believe.
Mr. Godfrey has a handout. Oh, we haven't copied it. But we will. And maybe in the meantime we can hand out these documents. We have some outlier bills on special revenue. Our policy committee didn't realize that they were involving special revenue and did not hear them in time for the omnibus deadline. So these are bills that are traveling on their own and have moved out of the division and have special revenue impacts. So when we're comparing our differences on our special revenue items in the bill, we think you should be aware of these bills. And we'll hand them out. Now, I think there's three of them and fiscal notes that go with them that all involve special revenue. Chairman, I might just add that the Torres Ray bill is one of the governor's recommendations, and it's not on our tracking sheet because, again, the bill didn't get our policy committee in time. But I think it is on the House tracking sheet and the governor's tracking
sheet. Senator Berglund, we have the same as the governor in the House bill. And I assume that's trying to see the numbers. They don't look quite the same. Yeah. Okay, it's the same. 91,000 savings.
My understanding is that there is no fiscal note on the Erickson Ropes Bill 2067. There's no fiscal impact. And the Fishbach Bill, my understanding is that this fiscal note is correct, but the language in the bill doesn't match the fiscal note.
Senator Berglund, the plan is to amend it. It's in finance tomorrow morning, and it will be amended, the language, and the fiscal note will probably change with that language because it's going to be changed a little bit. So there would be, it probably will come down, but it's all fee driven. So
Well, Senator Berglund, are we going to, do you wish to have these other bills incorporated into the
what we had told the authors was that we would add it to our tracking sheet, you know, once the bills got out of the Finance Committee. So we just wanted you to be aware of that.
So the.
I guess there's one other one that's an outlier on both sides, and that's the doula bill.
Mr. Chair, that was added on the floor, and so I don't know if we even have a fiscal note on that.
We have a fiscal note. It was done in our finance division.
Okay.
There's no certification. Yeah, true. Fees. No, it's just a registry. Just a registry.
Yeah, there is. Registration.
That's how it's supposed to be. $142 or something. Is that right? Yeah. We'll do the bill even the way it was marked.
Maybe everybody doesn't
want to do it. The amendment on the floor was. Still had a fee. Oh, it was neutral. Oh, okay, yeah. Instead of the.
For the rest of today, if we're passing out material, I would prefer the pages to pass it out to people in the audience rather than have you run up to the table here. So for the rest of it, the pages will hand the material out.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Chairman, maybe I could ask Mr. Godfrey to come back to the table.
Madam Chair, members, what you have before you here is a Minnesota Department of Health departmental earnings summary for fiscal years 04 through 09. It just begins on the third column over titled Accumulated Ending Balance Fiscal Year 05. You'll see the Department of Health has a $15 million surplus in this fund at the end of 05. As we go through, you can see the accumulated ending balance in fiscal year 06 is $16.4 million. At the end of fiscal year 07 is $13.6. Again, in fiscal year 08 is 13.6, and then at the end of 09 it's 13.5. I just also draw your attention to the base budget years in fiscal year 08 and 09. You'll see that for activity in fiscal year 08, the fund runs a small deficit of $29,000 at the end of that fiscal year. At the end of the fiscal year 09, the fund's running a small deficit of $145,000. Those are subtracted from the accumulated balance at the end of 09 of $13.5 million. And the Senate position essentially transfers or uses $10 million of this $13.5 million in its own initiatives and then also adds something around, I'm not sure exactly the exact number, but it's something around $800,000 to $1 million or $800,000 for governor recommendations that are accepted in the bill. And essentially, by the end of fiscal year 11, if you look at the balance of the fund, it's running it'll run a very small deficit. And that's not on your page here, by the way. But the accumulated balance at the end of fiscal year 11 will be a negative amount of $170,000.
So, Mr. Godfrey, where did this money in this fund come from?
Mr. Chair, the money in the fund came from a variety of fee programs, which are listed in the first column under name of program. You'll see we have drinking water fee, food and beverage lodging, et cetera. And you can see kind of the balance of each of these funds by year. So, for instance, drinking water fee is running a deficit in fiscal year 06 of $268,000. But other fees are running surpluses. For instance, food, beverage, and lodging in 06 is running a surplus of $501,000. And so as all those fees are totaled up into this one pool, it either creates a surplus or a deficit. And essentially, this surplus of $13.5 million at the end of 09 is from kind of accumulated surplus of all of these fees together.
And, Mr. Godfrey, some of these are license fees for various professions.
That's correct. You have the, temporary nursing registry, home healthcare facility license fee, occupational therapist, speech language pathologists. And then you also have other regulatory fees, such as the food, beverage, and lodging, and statewide hospitality, and so on.
And, Mr. Godfrey, none of these relate to the other professional boards?
That's correct.
Physicians, dentists, nurses.
Mr. Chair, these fees are only those fees that are under the auspices of the Department of Health. The other licensing professions have their own boards, individual boards, and that SGSR account is not being taken into consideration here.
Is there somebody from the Department of Health that would like to, or Finance, to talk about the proposed transfer of money out of this account? Please identify yourself for the tape.
Mr. Chair, Margaret Kelly with the Department of Health.
Mr. Chair, Doug Green with the Department of Finance.
Did you wish to comment on the proposed transfer of money out of this account to the general fund?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Transferring money at a fund level does present some problems and some complexities. It is certainly an option, but it does, you have to know, it does present some problems. Number one, these fees that are collected by Department of Health and health licensing boards are non-dedicated revenue to this fund. Therefore, there's no specific pot of money that the medical practice board or the nursing board or the board of behavioral health therapy or the Department of Health. At the bottom line of this fund in the state government special revenue fund, the balance in it, a fund level transfer really affects all of the agencies that operate out of this fund. Some other things to keep in mind when we're doing fund level transfers is fee revenue should typically be used for fee paying activities. And the last point to be made about this, the last point to be made about this is one of the reasons why they operate out of a fund is some agencies overcollect, some undercollect. And a lot of these, especially in the health licensing boards, have some unexpected expenditures. For instance, the medical practice board has a very expensive contested case. The veterinary's board has a very expensive case right now. And they incur these costs, and that's really what the balance of the fund is used for. So something else just to keep in mind when we are when it's proposed to transfer at the fund level.
Chairman?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, has a special revenue fund been used in the past for general fund expenditures?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berglund, you mean has the state government special revenue fund, has have there been transfers to the general fund in the past? Yes, there has.
And Mr. Chairman, I might just also point out that some of the money that was in this special revenue fund that we felt was in excess, we used to help offset requests that were made by the Department of Health for expenditures in their department regarding their disease surveillance computer system and their some of their other requests that had been made one-time appropriations. So I guess it's a matter of whose interpretation, whether we're using it appropriately or not.
Representative Abler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Green, the comments you made, I think, were especially related to some elements of some of those funds. But what I put in front of you there is the proposal that's in front of us, which is to take money from these particular sources, which are more Department of Health. There must be two. Are there two special revenue funds related to this? Like, is there a Department of Health part and then the licensing board's part? Or is it all just a larger fund altogether?
Mr. Green.
Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, there's about around seven different agencies that operate out of the state government special revenue fund. They're all direct appropriated, fee-supported activities. And so when you look at the balance of that fund, all the different agencies in there have contributed to the balance of that fund. Now, when you just take a fund level transfer, that creates some of the complexities in identifying whose balance, which agency you assign those transfers to.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Maybe
Senator Berglund can yield just for just help me understand. So this is the money that the $10 million that Mr. Godfrey mentioned is taken from the Departments of Health allocation within that special revenue fund. Is that of this $13 million, 10 of that would come out of these sources? Is that what you're getting at?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Abler, Representative Abler, the money that we took is only the special revenue that's collected by the Department of Health. It's not special revenue that's collected by the Board of Nursing or the Board of Medical Practice or any of those other boards. It's just, and, you know, I guess I've never heard of any one of these particular programs having a contested case hearing. So when we took the amount that we took, it was with the advice of the Department of Finance that they would sign off on the balance that we were leaving being adequate.
And, Mr. Chair, and I don't know who could answer this, if the money were taken per the Senate position, leaving a balance of $3 million, how would that be allocated back to these different programs? For instance, one of the proposals is to give the hearing aid dispensers a fee increase. They're in deficit now, I guess, and they're going to come back. And the House position was not to do that because the department's going to work on that and not. They took their fees from like $400 to $1,000 or something on these small business hearing aid dispensers, which struck us as being a lot. They have a deficit already. Would they have a bigger deficit, or would the people with the funds with the biggest amounts be taken, or was there a discussion about how that might operate, Senator Berglund or your staff?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Abler, we did not have that discussion. We assumed that the remaining money would be allocated. However, they've done it in the past when we've taken money out of this fund. Apply it to the general fund.
Representative
Abler.
I don't know who we are anymore. We're just all people here. I'll just ask one more question. Perhaps the department can comment. I just want to offer a thought. I didn't even know that these surpluses were there, but if you look at a couple of these that are present, there's a $2.5 million surplus for the home care facilities licenses, or health care facility licensing, which I'm not sure who's made up of that. And then the home care licensing people have $1.5 million, and some of those groups are really struggling. If I think of the home care people as they talk about their fees, and some of these, I think it's maybe not without impact. Maybe some of these folks could have had a fee decrease if they would have helped their marginal. And I understand the high purpose you're putting the money towards, Senator Berglund. Maybe the department could comment about if the $10 million were taken, how they would reallocate these accounts, and then I'll be through with questions.
Ms. Kelly.
Mr. Chair, one of the things I'd like to point out about this fund is that it is a non-dedicated fund, and so all the dollars are mixed in there, and there is not technically a pot of money in that fund that is MDH funds. We do track our fee revenue and our fee expenditures so that we can meet the requirements of law that require us to report on our departmental earnings to compare our revenues and our expenditures on an annual basis. We make decisions about increasing or decreasing fees based on those departmental earnings reports, and they reflect fee revenue collected in the past. And so we may forego fee increases in some years because we have collected sufficient revenues in the past and built up an accumulated surplus, and we will spend down that surplus prior to increasing fees. If this transfer were assigned to the Department of Health, we would go through our fees and look at those which have an accumulated surplus and assign the transfer of balances against those fee programs. And so the impact in future years would be that we would be coming before the legislature to increase a multitude of fee programs, probably in the next biennium, that we were not planning to do without this transfer.
Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Solon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Kelly, I think it was in 2003 when the governor took all the funds from the licensing the boards. Did all of the boards have to go back to their members then and increase their fees?
Ms. Kelly.
Mr. Chair, I defer to Mr. Green on that one. We don't oversee the boards.
Yeah. Mr. Green. Chair, Senator Solon. What Ms. Kelly just talked about as far as allocating all the all the balance changes did have to happen with all 16 health licensing boards back in 2003. Now, whether that ultimately resulted in one of those boards having to request a fee change, I don't know offhand, but that is certainly a risk that is increased by this kind of fund level transfer.
Do you have a comment?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to yield to Mr. Godfrey.
Mr. Chair, members, just for some further information about the SGSR account, the statewide SGSR account has approximately a balance, accumulated balance in it of $40 million. Half of the fees that are paid in, or more or less half of the fees that are paid into the SGSR account, are from dedicated fees, things like 911 fee, that sort of thing. If we assume that $40 million of the balance is for those dedicated fees, which is a guess, that leaves a balance in the SGSR account statewide of about $20 million. And so taking the $10 million would result in still having $10 million left in the overall statewide SGSR account to cover other cash flow needs.
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to ask Health Department representatives, who pays the drinking water fee here? I see we have about a $3 million balance. Who is that that's paying here?
Kelly.
Mr. Chair and Representative Clark, that is every person who connects to a water system pays a connection fee. And I believe it's around $6, $6.21, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Mr. Chairman?
An annual connection fee.
Representative Clark.
Mr. Chairman, this wasn't one of those fees that went up this year, right? It was a number of well water fees that went up, or well drilling, or was this part of the increased fee that we're...
Mr. Kelly. Chair and Representative Clark, it was the well fee, the well program fee, which is a little further down.
I see that.
Well management. That's the fee that we proposed increasing.
So, Mr. Chairman, this was not part of that.
Mr. Chair and Representative Clark, that's correct. Right. They're distinctly different.
Any further? Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think the Senate feels that this is the most desirable way to find money in the budget, but if your target ends up being like ours, it might look good to you by the end of the Conference Committee.
That could be. Any further discussion on this particular item? We have some other differences with... Senate and the House, John want to go through those or?
Most have turned out to have problems with the fees. Most have.
Is there any desire? I mean, we're getting ready to adjourn here pretty quick, but is there any desire to discuss these, or do we want to wait until we have the side-by-sides tomorrow that are accurate? Bergman, I see nodding heads over there.
Mr. Chairman, I'm just wondering if there were a few of the governor's recommendations that the House did not take, and I just wondered if we could go over those and maybe understand if there was a reason why they were not adopted.
Are those ones that Senator Berglund that the Senate adopted but we did not? That
yes.
The governor had? Okay, go ahead.
Maybe we can direct people to the spreadsheet.
John, do you want to pick those up?
Mr. Chair, if everyone still has a copy of the spreadsheet that they had yesterday, if I understand the request correctly, you want to go through state government special revenue items that the House did not adopt that were governor's recommendations?
Correct.
I think they start on page 27.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, the first one I see was there was a governor's request for long-term care and alternatives that the House did fund that the Senate did not. That was a state government special revenue item. That is on line 1428.
Right, and the reason we didn't fund it is because of the seven nursing homes, we believe five were nursing homes that were being run by the Veterans Homes Board, and we didn't feel like adding them to the report card system was that important at this stage of the game. People are getting monthly reports in the paper.
Mr. Chair, the next item would be on line 1450, the hearing instrument dispensing fee. This was something that the governor had included. We had removed and had information from the department that was no longer or that would be acceptable, that the governor would be okay with this item.
That's 1450. And Representative Abler, do you have a comment on that? That's the hearing aid
Yeah, and I just made a comment already. We had some testimony about this, Senator Berglund, on the hearing aid dispensers, and it seemed that the department was somewhat unclear about. There was 120 or so registered or whatever there are people that are doing that, and they had 95 complaints. They couldn't tell me if it was from one person or 95 people, and there's also some question about the phone calls that they get, how they're allocated and charged. And it struck me, I think it was going from 400, was it 400 to 1,000 or some increase of that order, which I thought these small businesses just couldn't bear that increase, especially based upon reporting like that. The department agreed to do some work in the interim time and bring back a discussion about how it's actually working. They didn't want language in the bill, but they agreed they would work on it in the interim time and bring back a recommendation next session. They indicated, probably because of the surplus in this account, that they could forego the fee increase on this group of people, pending that outcome of that report, which would come next session or somewhere thereabouts.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, is there someone here from the Department of Health?
Commissioner Kelly.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Kelly, is it true that the department is pulling back from their recommendation on this item?
Mr. Chair and Senator Berglund, we are willing to work over the interim to reassess what our scope of work is around hearing instrument dispensers and determine appropriate fee level. And we'll come back next year or the year after with a revised proposal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Thank you, Commissioner. And Mr. Wallace, do you have another one for us?
Mr. Chair, on page 29 of yesterday's spreadsheet on line 1546, the governor had a request for state well program maintenance. The Senate funded and the House did not.
You have to get state well program. They want to know that you.
Representative Clark, can you have a.
Is your question about whether or not we did the state well program maintenance? Yes,
the,
I believe.
We did not. The governor recommended it. The Senate approved it. And we did not. And I think that's this was in your committee.
1433. I'm pretty sure we did it, Mr. Chairman. I don't really recall that coming out. I wonder if that's an error.
1433. We have a bill we didn't put on the tracking sheet.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burgum.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Clark, you believe that you did fund this item and it's just an error in the tracking sheet.
That's what I think, yes.
Okay.
Yes, Madam Chair, as we discussed yesterday, the spreadsheet that was handed out did not have accurate House tracking in the House column, and those things have yet to be corrected, but that is in the House bill.
Okay.
So we'll deal with that one tomorrow when we get the more accurate spreadsheet.
The next item that I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, that's a general fund item. On line 1557, newborn screening, the governor had one request. There seems to be two similar requests on lines 1557 and 1563. These were items that were rolled in from the Housing and Health Committee, and I'm not generally familiar with them, but the House funded the first item and not the second, it appears.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clark.
That's another error. We did fund both of them. They were each $20. One was a new program, which was the hearing screening for newborns, and the other one was the existing panel of screens, which also required a $20 increase.
All right. Mr. Chairman, the second item on the page here, 1563, was not a governor's request, but it was a bill that was brought forward in the Senate by Senator Marty to expand the newborn screening to make sure that every child is screened for hearing loss, and the hospitals had agreed to the fee increase. And so you think you've got it in your bill also?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Clark.
I'm sure we have it in our bill. It was the Speaker's initiative, and it was in there just as long as Senator Burns.
Okay. We'll see. Doing this, we find we have fewer differences than we thought.
Mr. Chair, for disease surveillance on line 1599, it appears that the governor had requested $4 million from the Healthcare Access Fund. The House funds that with general fund money. The Senate decided to fund that with state government special revenue. The House includes TAILS. The Senate does not.
And this would replace one of their systems. And you know, we thought that getting them started would be good. We couldn't afford to fund it in the base, and this is part of where our state special revenue reduction went.
So, Senator Berglund, so that this part of that $10 million you transferred is showing up here, that $2 million.
Mr. Chair, on line 1608 on page 30, the Senate includes slightly higher percentage increases for compensation adjustments from the state government special revenue fund.
This is just the difference in the Senate and House overall on the compensation adjustments.
Good. Mr. Chair, they're on page 32, line 1710. I'm not certain if this is a governor's initiative. Again, this came from the Housing and Health Committee. Board of Physical Therapy, line 1710. It appears the governor did include this as a request. The House funded. The Senate did not.
Mr. Chairman, it is a Torres Ray bill that we just handed out. That's an outlier bill.
Mr. Wallace, when we get the new spreadsheet, is the Torres Ray bill going to be in there? Do you know? Some of these other differences.
Mr. Chair, is that one of the outlier Senate bills?
Right.
If the Senate wishes to include them in their column, they can be added to the spreadsheet.
Okay, Mr. Wallace, do you have any further?
Mr. Chair, as far as governor's recommendations go, I do not see any other state government special revenue differences that relate to governor's initiatives on the rest of the spreadsheet.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
Before we leave this topic, I always liked math, so just forgive me. There's two governor's proposals that are actually on this sheet here. Maybe if I are correct, this mortuary one and the housing with services where they had a fee increase. Could staff tell me if those are reflected? Are they some of the accounts that are on here we're talking about having the money go from? Just so I understand. It's at actually lines 1433 and lines 1439 and following of those two.
Mr. Chair, members, the handout that I had passed out earlier is just showing the Department of Health's base SGSR account. So any changes that are governor's or Senate or House positions aren't incorporated in that handout.
Mr. Chair, my question is this. I'm just trying to be, you know, thorough since this is the moment to chat about it. Trying to understand the Senate position. Maybe you can just answer this question, staff, Mr. Godfrey or somebody else. Are the line items 1433 and following and 1439 and following reflected? Are those accounts that are in this? Because there is a housing, there's a home care licensure and health care fee at facility licensing. Would those be,
is that in this?
Yeah, those accounts are reflected. And it says funeral establishments. Is that the same as mortuary science?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, members, yes, I'm told that it is.
Okay, I guess the point makes itself. But here we're raising fees in the bill on a couple of these folks, and they were just so it's a good discussion to have. So.
Senator Corrine.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just comment on the mortuary science or the funeral fee increases. I am actually the chief author of the mortuary science. It's kind of a recodification of the language which in 149A, which hasn't been done for 10 years, and there hasn't been any fee increases for over 10 years. And the department decided they needed a modest increase. I have actually had several meetings with the Minnesota Funeral Directors Association, and I don't know if Paul Cassidy is here, but he's their lobbyist, and they are totally okay with these fee increases. So there's no problem as far as that's concerned.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Abler, we hadn't included this item in the Senate bill, you would sleep better at night, I'm sure, because you wouldn't know what was in the base, right?
Thank you, Madam.
Representative Abler. Okay, is there any other? Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, we wondered if we could just have a brief explanation of the one-time savings that the House took on page 12, line 621, the delay in MA treatment foster care.
Mr. Chair.
It's Representative Thiessen.
Mr. Chair, as I recall and understand it, that program is not going to be ready to go in any event for two more years, and so delaying the effective date won't have any impact on the implementation of the program, but money was forecasted in the budget to cover that. So the practical result is that it's money that can't be spent, but it's showing up in the budget. So by delaying it, we generate savings.
Is there someone here from the department that could just let us know when they think this program will be ready to go?
Anybody from Human Service Department to comment on this? Here they come.
Here she comes. An unwilling guest.
Oh, there it is.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Kim Anderson from the Department of Human Services. I don't know the answer to that, but I will get in contact with our people at the agency from DHS that will know the answer to that as far as when the program will be up and running and get back to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions on the Special Revenue Fund or others? Representative Abler.
I have just a procedural question if you're through with this Special Revenue Fund. I think we're all kind of done with that discussion for today. But well, just the question was raised as you brought forward the Torres Ray bill and a pile of other bills. I know that the Senate tracked their bills differently than the House. There's a policy bills are still being heard, I think, and it seems like it. But as those bills get done, are they going to be brought into our bill here since there's no companion in the House to a lot of those policy bills? And that's a discussion for the two of you, I know, but I just was curious what you
would be.
Mr. Chairman, it has not been resolved, but I know that this conference committee needs to get done very quickly. And at the rate we're going, it's going to be much quicker than it seems. And if we don't have time for those issues, they will not be in the omnibus bill. So we'll see how it goes.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Abler.
I guess I was meaning the ones that there's a House position in. Our bill is half, again, as big as because of all our policy. Like, if there's policy language on the House side, will that be carried then not in this? I mean, I wasn't even asking that question, but I just thought that if there's a House position that you like that's the same as the Senate, you might adopt the House, or is that what you're saying, that we might not do any of that policy work here?
Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and Senator and Representative Abler, we are not trying to do policy bills in the omnibus bill for the very simple reason that we may not have time.
I see.
And we'll have to cross that bridge when we come to it and decide if we should take the ones that are identical or not, or try to figure out an alternative course.
Very good. I feel enlightened. Thank you very much.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing not, we'll adjourn today's meeting. Meeting adjourned.
Chairman, I would anticipate.